Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Stardom Review. I am your co-host, Andre C. Right over here is the wonderful, the effervescent, the ever-lovely, the hostess that has the mostest. It's Melball. How you doing, Melball?
I am doing great, Andre. It's a little early here, but we're all glammed up here because we have a lot of recording to do today. We hosted a party yesterday. We got to see Swerve. Bleeding profusely. That was a treat.
We watched AEW yesterday, and Moxley didn't bleed, nor did Swerve. The only one that I saw bleed was Copeland, I think, and
and that's because he Sandmanned himself with a can, which is understandable.
That was the one here, but then he got busted open on the side, and he was all like swollen up and bleeding.
Stick to the face. I mean, that's kind of what happens, but Swerve.
But we're not here to talk about Swerve or AEW. Yeah. We're here to talk some beautiful, beautiful Stardom. And boy, howdy, are we here to talk about an awesome, awesome show.
I mean, I was texting you as I was watching this show going, holy hot diggity, this match. So many different matches that were just top tier matches from Stardom. I mean, it's very obvious that this was their Wrestle Kingdom, their WrestleMania show, and it delivered from start to finish, man. How did you feel about it?
I wasn't disappointed by a single match on this show. Everything delivered. Now, me and you were chatting about this yesterday when we were hanging out. Mm-hmm. I'll say the Midsummer show is probably, or maybe All-Star Grand Queendom, felt slight, like, I think, better cards overall because they had more. Because this one had, like, multiple opening multi-person tags that didn't feel as big as other shows. But the five main matches on this show delivered. That six-woman tag with 7-Up in it. You had, and then four, like, awesome title matches that seriously delivered. But this show delivered in every which way you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 110%. I was expecting to at least have one or two matches that I was kind of like, meh, on. Yeah. That's usually what I get out of the Japanese shows. It was not the case with this one. No. It was start to finish. I was texting you. I was even texting the beautiful Natural Astrid going, girl, you need to be watching this stuff, especially when Anu came up. You know, Anu was someone who was actually on tour in the Orlando area that Astrid was actually given the opportunity to see. But unfortunately, she did not feel well that day and did not want to go out and subject the public to whatever sickness she had picked up. But Sari Anu and you were both performing in the Joshi tour that did go through Orlando. So maybe Astrid will have the opportunity 2024 to see these amazing women wrestle.
Saki too. She had her Spark Joshi Pro title on.
She did. Yes, she did. Let's get into it because we're just going to start talking about it and not even lead into it because the show was just so good. And like, I will bounce over the place.
So we are going to kick it off. We started off six-woman tag match. Hanako Rana Yamagi, who is a newer person to the company, and Sayaka Kuri, another new woman to the company, taking on Azusa Inaba, Miyu Yamasaki, and Yuzuki, who just made her debut recently. Inaba and Rana start the match. Rana actually getting the best of Inaba early till she fights back with this hard boot and a PK to the back, and I was like, I cringe at it because I was like, oh god, like she kicks like Siri, man. It's brutal.
Yeah, that start was very much a martial arts start. I felt both girls were showing off what it was that they're capable of doing, but also as usually when you see people starting to do the kicks and the strikes and stuff like that, like trying to intimidate, you see that recoil of people like, ooh, like dodging the foot or whatever, or dodging the hand. Neither one of these girls backed down from each other. They were almost kicking each other in the faces. They were not intimidated by each other at all. And I loved it.
Oh, for sure. For darn sure. Miyu getting a handspring back elbow in the corner looked great. Hanako coming in, just powering everything around. Miyu ends up fighting back and hitting a pendulum DDT onto Hanako. And then Yuzuki tries for Inaba tries for that judo toss, but can't on Hanako. So Yuzuki comes in and gives her a hard kick, Yuzuki was trying for the judo toss, and Naba comes in with a hard kick, and Yuzuki hits the judo toss. Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Hanako stands head and tails above these girls. Very, very tall, almost Megan Bain-esque kind of Amazon energy, where she just kind of towers. So it makes sense to me that they needed the help, because, man. But man, did they get her over, and she made it look so good. So good.
So Hanako, Rana, and Kuri triple team Yuzuki in the corner, and Kuri gets this huge spear, but the pin gets broken up. Hanako hits the big, big suplex to Miyu. They roll up to the floor. Kuri and Yuzuki roll around trading pins. Then Inaba hits a super kick to Kuri, and Yuzuki rolls her up and gets the win. Really, really fun match.
I don't have a whole lot to add. You kind of took a lot of the notes. I really enjoyed this match for Miyu, especially because I felt like in her team in particular, she was very much showing that leadership that she needed. She was directing traffic for both Inaba and Yuzuki. I had to double check how to say her name. she was directing traffic for them, and they were doing it beautifully. Very much flowing, the three of them, very, very well together. It was very impressive. Really liked seeing that from Miyu, especially with all the kind of chaos that has been coming out of Queen's Quest recently, you know, having lost the champion, or the champion, the captain, that's the one. Losing the captain for a hot minute with Utami, and then also arguably the second in command in Kamitani. They've kind of been floundering a little bit on their own. This really kind of, for me, reasserts Queen Quest in particular on a higher kind of tier there, seeing that kind of, again, that leadership just coming out of one of the lower, no offense, but the lower members in Queen's Quest. It really speaks to how well Utami is teaching these ladies. I really like the sportsmanship beginning, where all six of these women all shook hands. They were very, you know, pleasant with each other. There was no bad blood there yet. But, you know, give it time. These girls are just starting. They'll start to hate each other soon, I'm sure. The last thing I wanted to say is Inaba. Very partial to the purple. I really enjoyed seeing the purple braids in her hair. I'm not gonna lie, I thought she was her sister. Like, she's kind of looks like she's matured a little bit in the last couple months, and I actually confused her with her older sister. So yeah, very, very fun match. I did just want to say one thing about, I struggled to say her name, Kurara? Tsuyaka Kurara? The one with Hanako and Rana there.
Kuri. Tsuyaka Kuri.
Is that how you say her name?
I got it as, like, from Cage Match as Tsuyaka Kuri. So it's written on Cage Match.
Kuri, okay. Yeah. Her name is spelled very differently, so, like, I was pronouncing everything in there. She, very not a huge presence in this match, but when she did come in there, she demanded attention. Mm-hmm. And she did so almost effortlessly. She didn't do anything crazy that would make you go, ooh, look at this person. But just her presence, she has this natural charisma, I think, that will help her do very, very well in the business going forward. Her outfit was adorable, reminded me of like Ariel the Little Mermaid. It was very, very cute. Yeah, very tremendous opening match.
Oh, very much so. We did get Tam Nakano coming out for a speech. And thank you to the Stardom Twitter account. I went on there. It was all in Japanese. So I pressed translate in the thing, and it let me translate it. Goodness. So I did get a bit of comments from her speech and some comments from the Maiko speech at the end. So Tam says, I promise that I will definitely come back to this ring. Tam Nakano will definitely return to the first star and Bloom. We want to make it the best organization in the world and with all our loved ones and friends. That was a quote that was part of the speech. Again, it's not the whole speech, but that's what I got because we watched the live pay-per-view copy of this show, which actually now the whole show is up on the Stardom YouTube page. You can watch all the matches there. I don't think the entrances are in there, but you can watch the whole show there because there was a huge issue with the pay-per-view cutting out partway through the semi-main event and doesn't come back till halfway through the main event. So they had to put those two matches up on YouTube right away, and I'm going to get a refund, which is nice. I appreciate. So, yeah. So it's happy to see. I'm happy to see Tam coming back.
Yeah, same. It's kind of felt a little bit like a little bit of a hole has kind of been there in the absence of Tam Nakano, because she really is that extreme face in the company. And with her absence, and then also Natsupoi's absence, it's kind of felt a little empty. They really did bring that kind of happy, peppy energy. And we were talking about Natsupoi a little briefly yesterday. You know, she is that feral fairy who just kind of comes in adorable, but then is just like a tiny little wrecking ball pixie thing. You know, as I mentioned, it does kind of feel like we've been missing out on that extreme kind of face within the company. But it makes me happy to hear that she's planning on coming back. I just want her to do what people like Tanahashi are not doing. Take that time to recover fully and come back as 100% as you can, if not over 100%, to make sure that we don't have any issues going forward. Oh, yes, let's get into this. I was so excited for this.
I was just clicking it forward while you were just so it was there. So we get a four-way tag match. It's Saki and the returning Saki and Yuna Mizumori from Cosmic Angels team versus Queen's Quest, Hina and Lady C versus Donna Del Mundo's Mai Sakurai and Tekla versus God's Eye's Ami Sarai and Saki Kashima. So I'm going to preface this. Anytime I say Saki, will be for Saki Uyaka. I can't remember. Saki from Cosmic Angels. And I will say Kashima for Saki Kashima, just so you're aware, ladies and gentlemen, because I usually say Saki for Saki Kashima, but I'm going to preface this. But yeah, Saki coming back to you. And she had her Spark Joshi Pro title, which is the promotion, the Joshi promotion in the United States now. So yeah, Kashima, great new red gear. I appreciate it.
It's nice to see a splash of color on her after always seeing her in black, 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 black. Mm-hmm. And then the hair to match. Mm-hmm. So good. I love that.
I saw her intro card. She's 30. I thought she was way younger than that.
We've had this problem with the Japanese women all year, man.
Yeah. And then Tekla, that pink robe and the silver and black gear. Fire. Mm-hmm.
That metallic kind of almost like holographic disco ball kind of metallic bikini top thingy and bottom that she had with the combination of that almost Cruella de Vil-esque coat. That's what it was giving me. It was giving me Cruella de Vil vibes, but pink. Like she put the coat in the washer and it accidentally had a red sock in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not hating it. I love it. It's such a good classy look for her. It kind of reminds me of Toni Storm's Timeless look, but edgy.
Yeah. So I just have the little point where Kashima literally slides out before the match starts, just like forcing Ami to start, which was funny. And then they do a four-way test of strength shot. And Thekla is far shorter than she's in there with, I'm pretty sure, Saki, Ami, and Lady C, who are all three women fairly taller than Thekla. And she's just like looking at them like, God damn it. Then kneels down and flips them all off. It was so good.
Yeah. She even audibly, fuck you.
And then she goes into the ropes and gets her spider pose, but then the three of them run up and just boot her through the ropes. Like, just wham.
One thing I forgot to mention at the beginning, the cosmic angels doing the dance that filled that hole that has been missing in my heart with the absence of Club Venus, with the absence of Natsupoi and Tam, who were very adamant about the dancing. It warmed my heart and soul to see not only Yuna and Saki reunited, but to see them doing the cosmic angel dance. It was sweet. It was very sweet.
Very, very much so. It was very sweet to see. Saki and Yuna get a combo double dingle dangle on Lady C. I was so happy to see that. But Thekla broke it up. Thekla gets the double spear to Cosmic Angels. Mai gets a boot. Gets both of Cosmic Angels in the Paradise Lock, both Yuna and Saki in there. And then they step back. They pose with like on them, but then Queen Quest interferes. But both the Queen's Quest gets dropped to hold it into Cosmic Angels to break the hold. It was great. And then Thekla gets Hina over the ropes with the leg choke, and then Mai like pushing her boot into the face of Hina. Lady C gets Mai back in the ring and goes a spinning. Looked great. Yeah. I'm going to jump to the end here. Ami and Yuna are lariating the hell out of each other over and over. But then Yuna hits a big-ass lariat, dropping Ami, which was the surprising one. Mm-hmm. Then Ami comes back with a suplex. Mirai comes up with a suplex and hits a Mirai-style flip lariat, where she jumps up, hits the lariat as she flips. But she can only get two. She hits the blue thunderbomb to Yuna, and she gets the win.
Very much a good win for this girls. It was a very surprising win, that, for me. I definitely felt that there were other people who, you know, already have the titles, so they could have been, you know, a shoo-in. But like, we've been watching Thekla kind of pick up some losses as the Artist of Stardom champion, or one of the Artists of Stardom champions, for the last like couple of months. So this is something that I'm sadly becoming used to. Mm. Which I don't think is a good thing. They are the Artists of Stardom champions. They should be picking up something more. Mm-hmm. Or at least I would like to see it, because it just kind of reaffirms why they're a champion. When I'm starting to see people who aren't champions winning, I'm like, maybe you should challenge for that, because clearly you're better at picking up those pins and wins. That being said, though, I definitely did think that it was either going to be Yuna or Hina that was going to take the pin in this one.
Me too.
Not surprising. Ami's hair, though, wanted to mention real quick. We've been mentioning she's kind of like that constant evolution girl, where her hair is just constantly changing style. Cut off all of the nice length from this picture and those nice colored tips, and kind of rocking like that Miley Cyrus kind of mullet thing right now. I actually really like it on her. It looks very, very cute, very fashionable on her. I'm going to be that person who's talking about the fashion in this one, because there's so much to talk about. Saki's gear was not only giving me like Dragon Ball Z vibes, but like with the cheetah print on it as well, was just so perfect. It looks so good on her. I really enjoy watching Saki. I've really missed seeing her, because she kind of is very much like Thekla, in that she walks out with that just swagger and confidence that she knows exactly what she's doing, and she is confident in herself. She's always smiling. Everything she does is assertive. The only difference, I think, between Thekla and Saki is that Saki is that like confident girl, like cute, like Sailor Moon kind of girl, and Thekla is Sailor Mars. Like, she's kind of like, she's confident in that attitude, you know. And you know the banter, I mean, Sailor Moon fans will know, like, Sailor Moon and Sailor Mars, they don't they don't like to, they don't like to scissor. They don't like to see eye to eye. So it's a very different kind of confidence. And I really enjoy seeing the combination in the ring together. Lady C, I think, was also rocking some new gear. I don't recognize the gear she was wearing. Looked phenomenal on her. The combination of Lady C and Hina has actually been a very good combination for Queen's Quest. I'd like to see the two of them competing a little bit more together. And that's all I got to say.
Again, I just had a good time watching this match. It was fun. Getting to see the tag teams all working together in such a great way. I really enjoyed it.
It was a very nice, and like none of them ever left their partner hanging, even Kashima. Kashima was there for Ami when she needed her to be. So, you know, and this is the combination in God's Eye, I think, that we've seen the least regards to Kashima teaming. She's usually with either Mirai or Suri, definitely not Konami. And I think Ami has kind of like almost kind of felt like a third wheel, fourth wheel in that kind of relationship. So it's nice to see the two of them working together and very cohesively.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. We move on. Another eight-woman tag. It's Oeda Tai's Fukigen Death, Rina, Uraka, Starlight Kid versus Stars, Hanan, Hazuki, the returning Mayumi Watani, and Saya Iida. Like I said, she came back a couple matches ago, but this is billed as the Mayumi Watani return match, even though she showed up at another, she was on another show. So what it was billed as is her return, right? So, whatever. I like Hanan and Ida's new entrance jackets. Very, very nice. Little disappointed that Mayu is in an eight man on this and not defending the title. Like the title was defended last, or the title was on, was, I think the title was on the show last year. Yeah, it was Kyrie and Utami last.
Set something up for it though.
Yeah, like there is a match on January 4th. Don't get me wrong. But not on Wrestle Kingdom. It's on the Stardom show that's preceding Wrestle Kingdom. So, yeah. It should be facing Suri. So that'll actually be a really good match, Suri and Mayu. And hopefully Suri can win and then bring the title over to the States. I'm hoping.
I would really like that. I would love to see Suri touring. I'd still like to see Mayu touring more, too. That's a lot of TT.
Yeah. Oedo Tai attacks during the intros. They all fight to the floor. Starlight Kid whips Mayu into the chairs. All the way to Tai, they get Mayu back in the ring. All the way to Tai attack Mayu in the ring. Uraka hits the senton, but the pin gets broken up. Later in the match, Hazuki gets a second rope dropkick to Uraka. Uraka fights back, but Hazuki pulls the crossface. But Starlight Kid breaks that up. Hazuki gets a double crossface on Starlight Kid and Uraka, which looked really good. But Rina and Fuki break it up. Hazuki gets a double MX to Fuki and Rina. Queen's Quest then all do the quad boot wash and running boot the ropes. Ida comes in with the speed chops to Ruaka on the ropes. Ruaka comes back with the running cross. Starlight Kid tags in, hits a top rope high cross. Ida and Hanan hit the double axe chop and then hit like their version of a high low. It looked really good to Starlight Kid. Fuki's in at one point. She gets Mayu in the corner. She tried to do her splashes, and she can't. So she throws the ref into Mayu and has the ref bulldog Mayu.
Yep. That sequence is so good, too, because the ref played it so well, where he was just like, he clearly knew what was going on, but the way he was like selling, his facial expressions were just so funny. He was as like scared as anybody else would be in that situation. And then giving her shit after, it was just so good. So funny. It was a really funny spot.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. All the way to tie in to attack Mayu. Fuki gets a second rope senton. Pin gets broken up. Fuki rolls Mayu up, but Hazuki breaks the pin up. Stars and Oeda Tai all in, hitting each other with moves. Mayu hits a super kick and a bridging German to Fuki, but she can only hit two. Hazuki and Hanan launch Mayu into the corner with that launch drop kick thing that she does. Then Mayu goes.
Called it a freaking slingshot shotgun drop kick because that's essentially what it was.
Yeah, slingshot shotgun drop kick. I will go with that. Mayu goes up. Mayu goes up, hits Fuki with the top rope moonsault, and she gets the win.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't want to hear this because it's a creepy clown, but I'm going to say it. Fuki can almost pin Mayu Iwatani not once, twice in this match. If it wasn't for the one saving grace in Stars, who has been the biggest saving grace in the last few months, Hazuki. If it wasn't for Hazuki on both those occasions, Fuki would have pinned Mayu. That's crazy. Crazy to think. Fuki can, I know you're not a big fan of her, but frickety frack, did she turn it up in this match? She had a tremendous match. I was extremely entertained by her the whole time. Very over with the crowd. They were very much chanting for Fuki can, and I loved it. Let's see here. Yeah, the time that there was that one big faction attack that Oedo Tai all did on Mayu, which was the first time that she almost pinned her. And then the second time there was that tag team that she did, I think with Ruaka, where Fuki hit that top rope senton, I think. I think that's what it is. I always get that one confused. Where she lands on her back. That's a senton, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was the second time that she almost pinned Mayu and Hazuki ran in and broke it up. And again, I just got to call her. She's the lifesaver of Stars. Like, I'm so happy she decided to come back out of her retirement and rejoin with the Stars faction because she has been nothing but a freaking blessing for these ladies. There was one point in the match where Rina and Hanan were in together and they are definitely more known for their judo tosses and their judo background, or at least for me. Like, it's something that you can recognize among those three sisters. I really felt that the Hina and Hanan struggled a little bit with those. At one point, the two of them were going back and forth, and it was just like they were just slightly off-timed so that Rina was jumping too early, so Hanan had to awkwardly muscle her over, and the same thing happened with Hanan, and then it just kept happening for the rest of the match for this one, whereas Hina, who's usually the one who struggles with the judo tosses, in her match beforehand was just nailing them, every single one that she did. It was interesting to see the turn of luck for these three sisters. I'm still hoping to get what Hanan asked for last year, which was a three sisters challenging for the Artist of Stardom Championships. I would love to see that. I mean, we know who's going to retain, but I would love to see it because it would be a phenomenal test for these three girls. They're at three different levels, really. And it's so interesting to see where they are. And I'd be interested to see what the three of them could do with those Artists of Stardom Champions. Because man, Julia is someone you want to learn from. Thekla is someone you want to learn from. And now Mai Sakurai has come out of nowhere and just dominated. I'd love to see that. Otherwise, this was a really, really fun match. I really love seeing Oedo Tai. Love hearing their music. It was really, really good 8-woman tag.
Yeah, I really enjoy this match. And I think it's Stars in Oedo Tai. It's a forever rivalry.
It is.
Yeah, so we move on to the team of Maiho Shirai, Mina Shirakawa, and Shuri, taking on, as I have dubbed them, 7-Up Express, Nane Takahashi, Yu, and Azumi. Well, Azumi as the Express chick, she's fast, so I figured that was... So, great pose with Azumi standing on the knees of Yu and Nane. I like that when she's standing on their knees before the match. It was great.
In the pose, it was so cute.
Yeah, Nane and Mei start the match. They're going back and forth, but Nane gets her by the hair, throws her by the hair, but Mei back up, just going high speed, attacking Nane. May and Izumi do like a ring around the Nane spot where they're both just running around Nane. But Nane picks up Izumi and uses her to like boot May in the face. Like she like runs her boot feet first into May. 7-Up Express then triple team May and Nane gets a 2. I'm gonna jump around through parts of the match. Suri and Mina are in. They're taking turns kicking Izumi in the back, and I was just like, Suri's got the most devastating kicks, but Mina's got some like solid kicks. And then they hit the double drop kick, and Suri gets a 2. Izumi gets a suplex on Suri, tags in Yu, who crushes her with a senton. Yu catches a chest kick, lifts her up, goes for a power bomb. But Suri slips down into an octopus lock, but it did get broken up. Yu and Mina are in together, and Yu is chopping and slapping the crap out of Mina. She like steps on her and hits her with a senton, or she like steps on her, goes to bounce off the ropes, and Nane blind tagged her, and Yu hits the senton and goes for the pin, but Nane blind tagged her, and Yu was just like, what the hell? Like, she was just kind of mad about it. So Nane was in there with Mina, and Mina goes for the figure four, but Nane up kicks her, gets the ankle lock, but Mina slips out, gets the figure four, and her partners get submissions on the other two from 7-Up Express. Excuse me. So Mina and Nane start slapping the crap out of each other while in the figure four position. It was great. But Nane eventually gets the ropes to break it. Suri and Mina hit like sandwich kicks to Nane. Mina goes up, stopped by Yu. Nane comes up, superplexes her off the top. Izumi hits the stomp off the top. Nane hits a frog splash, but the pin gets broken up. And I'm like, oh, thank Christ. Mina then gets out of a hammerlock, out of the hammerlock by Nane, and hits a spinning back fist. Nane takes out Mei. Suri and Mina fighting back. Yu hits a triple cannonball in the corner. Nane hits a hammerlock driver to Mina, but she kicks out at 2.9. I'm like, oh, thank you. And then hammerlock emerald flosion by Nane to Mina, and Nane gets the win. My heart was broken because Mina took the loss and Mina's team lost. I love me some Mina. But, dude, this match was incredible.
100%, and I have opinions on the Mina ending. I'll get there in a second. There was one point where Suri was in, and she was kicking on Yu. To be able to drop someone like Yu at the size that Suri is in comparison to Yu, with her simple strikes and kicks, should tell you exactly how powerful Suri is and how powerful and dense those legs are. Holy hot dang. She was, the crack that was coming off of those kicks, and this Yu just went over so quickly. It was insane. Mina, whoa, I have a very bad spelling error here. Mina trying to, I think she was coming at Yu at one point, like when she got tagged in and tried to come in all piss and vinegar, strike, just very ineffective in comparison with Suri's kicks. That was when Yu started slapping her around and stuff. And I didn't like that too much because we both know Mina is a very powerful person. I mean, her arms are not Suri's legs level strong. I mean, I don't know anyone who is, but Mina Shirakawa in her own right is a very strong and powerful woman. And when she's facing someone like Nane, she could easily take them. Yu is a different story. Yu is a different kind of powerhouse. She's a different tier of powerhouse. But usually going to toe-to-toe with someone like Nane, Mina Shirakawa doesn't have a problem. So this match was a little, it was very passionate. We'll use Nane's word in this. It was a very passionate match between Mina and Nani, because they were going for broke. You can usually see the girls when they're going for those strikes and stuff like that. There's a certain amount of pull that happens. There was no pull happening between Mina and Nani. These two were hitting each other for the sake of hitting each other at some points. And Mina coming back with a vengeance against Nani for how hard that she was hitting her. When she did get her in that figure four, she kept her in it for quite some time and then started smacking the crap out of her, which was just tremendous. Something interesting that I've noticed between like Stardom and NJPW, Yoshinobu Kanemaru does the figure four quite a bit also, but I find that he doesn't feed into it as creatively as Mina Shirakawa does. So maybe you want to take some advice from Mina Shirakawa there, Kanemaru. I mean, I've really enjoyed watching her get into and set up the figure four on her opponents, because she usually has a really tremendous and heavy hitting lead up into that. What I'm trying to say there is that Mina turns it into a story, whereas sometimes Kanemaru would just kind of feels just like he's going through the motions sometimes. He's going through signature. With Mina, she turns it into a journey, which obviously I appreciate. Coming back to that. Oh, yeah, that sandwich kicks. The sandwich kicks between Mina and Sori on Nani. Oh, that looks stiff. It just looks so brutal. The two of them just boom. And it was so perfectly timed, too, the two of them. It was perfection. Okay, so now I'd like to talk about Mina. It's frustrating as a fan to watch this woman have, first of all, been removed from club or from Cosmic Angels, which maybe it was her choice, maybe it wasn't her choice, I don't know. Only they do. But to have her removed from Cosmic Angels and done so in such a very poetically nice way in comparison to Natsupoi, to form Club Venus with Xia Brookside and Mariah May and have the incredible year that they had, only to end it feeling like we didn't even have it. You know, Mina got that Wonder of Stardom championship, and we were both waiting for it. And then they rip it away from us just violently. And just to say that it wasn't a good story, it was certainly a good story once it got on Mirai, but the Tam story to me didn't make sense. And now it's on Anu, which to me sets it up for Mina. But I don't feel that she should have lost the title as quickly as she did. She deserved, based on everything that she kind of did, again, leaving Cosmic Angels, forming Club Venus, working very hard to establish this team, she should have been rewarded a little bit more with a little bit more of a title run there. And then, you know, kind of felt like they kind of made up for it, giving her this Goddess of Stardom championships with Mariah May. And the same thing, as quickly as they were crowned champions, it was taken away. We understand why, because Mariah May had signed with AEW, so she had to kind of make her exit. And that was fine, but there's no reason why they couldn't have left the titles on them for a little bit longer. Like, she was there still another month after that. We could have seen her retain that championship for that another month. You know, I would have been okay with that. I really kind of feel like they're Kenta-ing Mina Shirakawa right now. And I don't understand why, because she's worked so fracking hard this year and given so much and lost so much. I mean, where's Waka? Is Waka injured right now? Because seemingly the only member of Club Venus left in Japan, and she's not there. It hurts my heart, because Mina Shirakawa has become such a tremendous talent. She's so good, and she does so much. She bends over backwards for this company. Stop treating her like crap. Reward her. She's worked very, very hard. I wouldn't say that she's like a high speed thing, and I wouldn't say go after Mei Mei, but like, I think that the next challenger for the Wonder of Stardom Championship should be Mina Shirakawa, unquestionably. She's more than earned it this year. Andre, what do you think about my little TED Talk rant about Mina Shirakawa?
I am in full agreement. And I think the biggest detriment to her coming, like her creating a couple of Venus this year, is that it was a bunch of foreigners outside of Waka. And you had Jesse, you had Zena, you had Zaya come in, but like Zaya came in, and then she left within a couple months. Zena was in for a hot minute, then she was gone. Jesse was in for a hot minute, then she was gone. May was the only consistent person other than Waka there with her, and then she left. But again, I don't shame any of these women because you have other opportunities, go take them. But 100%. Like, I think they need to establish full timers into Club Venus more than just Waka and Mina, and that's what I think will help build this faction forward and get them their banner on the wall.
I mean, I volunteer as tribute.
You know you do.
I know the freaking dance. I can do that.
You're already ahead of Waka.
I'm halfway there. I'm already further there than Waka.
And you have some wrestling training, so
you fall down pretty good. I'll try really good if you hit me really hard. If you hit me in the face, I will definitely cry.
So we move on. Goddess of Stardom goddesses of Stardom tag title match. Aphrodite, Saki Hamatani, and Itami Hayashishita, who did win them in the vacant title match against against Micah and Megan Bain. We didn't cover that show. I apologize. Life just got in the way, and we needed to take a little bit of time off for our personal health. So we did not get to cover the big Nagoya Big Winter show. But yeah, that's where they won the titles, and that's also the show that XL challenged them on. Or gold. I'm going to call them Gold Ship because I liked that name way better.
I like Gold Ship better, yeah.
Yeah. Really cool bull mask on Tora's hood. That looked awesome. And then Utami.
She looked like the Shredder.
And Utami's new gear. Fire!
Both Aphrodite and Utami's new gear are just so...
Saya's looked exactly like her old gear.
You keep saying that, and I'm like, bruh, hers was green. It was emerald green. It was UE green. Her new gear is all gold.
Yeah, but it doesn't look any different. There's no design change. It's exact same thing with color swap.
The fringe.
Yeah, but it's just a color swap is all it is, and that's why I don't like it.
Fair enough. I feel it makes her look more like what it is that she calls herself. She calls herself the Golden Phoenix. She has a lot of gold now and a lot of gold fringe. I feel like when she's running around, especially when she puts her arms out with the dingly danglies on her arms, she looks like a phoenix. She looks like a bird. So I feel like it works really well. But Utami's gear is just so good. It's cut in the right place. It's strappy in the right place. It looks so good on her. So good.
Excuse me. Sorry, I had to burp there. Utami and Momo start. Tora interfering to help Momo. But Saya ends up coming in. They send them to the floor. Saya goes for her springboard dive to the floor. But as she comes up to the rope, Ruaka whips the case at her face, and she goes crashing into the ring. Oh,
yeah, that was
brutal. And, yeah. And somebody was distracting the ref on the other side of the ring. So yeah, it actually ended up not looking like crap.
It was always Rina.
Yeah, that was a crazy spot. Tora throwing Utami into the chairs, and Momo throwing Sai into the chairs on the floor. Back of the ring, some battling goes on with Utami. Saya comes in, but Tora comes in for the double team with Momo, but Saya gets the meeting of the minds and hits a double Rana into the double drop kick and gets a two count on Momo. Beautiful drop kick and then Northern Light suplex by Saya Kamatani for two. Utami and Tora battle back and forth at one point. Momo and Tora double team. Momo hits the half and half suplex, but Saya comes in and attacks Tora, but is dropped. Tora hits the cannonball to Saya and Utami in the corner. Looked great. Utami goes up, but is attacked by Momo. Tora backdrops her off the top. Momo with the running Meteora. Tora hits the second row of Frog Splash for two. Transitions into a guillotine choke, which looks really good. While Momo has Saya in the crossface chicken wing. But Utami fights him. And, like, Momo literally took Saya to the floor in the submission. Which was, I liked that there. Utami had gotten back in control, hits an air raid crash. Tora kicks out a 2.9. There's a name for it. It's in the Strong Spirits game. I didn't have it written down for her air. She has a special name for her air raid crash. I just couldn't remember it when I was writing this out, and I forgot to get it. Utami tries for the hijack bomb, but Momo comes in, and she misses Utami, and they double team her. They hit that suplex up into the sit-up spine buster, or the Alabama-style sit-up spine buster. And Saya Kamatani makes the save because she dove in and, like, just barely got a hand on Utami, and the ref stopped the count. I was like...
Yeah. I had to watch it back a few times, and I also recorded that, I think, and sent it to you, and I was like, this was freaking cool. But, yeah, she barely got her hand in there because at one point I was like, why did he stop counting? I didn't even see her hand creep in there.
Utami didn't kick out. And all Saya did was, like, touch Utami. And it was like, oh, that's the pin. She
delicately touched her, like, face or something. And I was just like, okay.
That was so bad.
And the annoyance. The best part about that scene was the annoyance on the face of the ref, who was just like...
Because he knew he wasn't supposed to count a three there, but he had to sell it like it was a breakup. That's why he was like, God damn it, that looked shit. Like, he knew it looked like shit. Tora hits a swanton, but Utami kicks out a 2.9. Saya fights back against XL, and they hits a wheel kick, sending them to the floor. Saya finally hits her springboard splash to the floor onto Olive Oedo Tai, getting her revenge back for the case of the phase. End of the match, though, Magic Killer by Aphrodite, and you could hear the Japanese announcers yell Magic Killer, and I'm like, yes. And the bridging German by Utami, but Tora kicks out at that last millisecond. Utami hits the hijack bomb, but Momo breaks up the pin. Dropkick German suplex combo from Aphrodite to Momo, and Utami hits the torture rack into the torture rack bomb to Tora as Saya Kamatani hits the Star Crusher on Momo, and they both get on top and pin their opponents. 1, 2, 3, Aphrodite retain the titles.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. I was so happy, so happy. But man, was this match freaking killer. This was really when I started texting you and Astrid quite a bit throughout this, and Astrid was just like, these girls, I need to start watching the show more. Kamatani really fighting for her life in this match, though. She's not typically the smallest person in the ring, but she sure was in this match. And I felt that it showed how much she was fighting to kind of stay alive in this. There was a spin kick that she did, though, that was just so perfect. I believe she did it on Momo. But everything about it was just absolute perfection. Everything looked so good. She didn't mess it up. She sold it perfectly. Momo sold it perfectly. It was so damn good. That cannonball by Tora, though, on Aphrodite in the corner. She's so good at hitting those cannonballs and those crossbodies. Something that I feel she's definitely picked up with her teaming with Momo, but also with her teaming with Ruaka. That's definitely something I really enjoy them doing on that bottom rope there, is that cannonball follow-up with the crossbody. That it was a guillotine, is what you said, that she got on Utami? Is that a yes?
I mean, guillotine choke. Yeah, it's a guillotine choke. there's other I know it by the MMA terminology of guillotine choke. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I wrote down Dragon Sleeper question because I didn't quite know, but I know the Dragon Sleeper is like a different one, right?
When you're pulling somebody back from laying on their front, you're pulling them back and getting your arm.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. Yeah. It was like the same thing with the person facing the different way.
Ida does the Dragon Sleeper.
Yeah. I felt that submission looked so good. And she had Utami in that for a hot minute. I actually started to get very concerned that might be the end of the match there, because that's... Oof. We've seen some matches in the past with Stardom here end very suddenly with submission, you know, tap out. So I was really scared for that. The last thing I have here is when Momo hit the mist on Utami in the corner, I thought it was done. Especially with the follow-up, the suplex waiting for Tora. The suplex into a waiting Tora for the body slam. I sent you that move too. That was when Kamatani got in there and broke up that pin. Holy heck. That move is so good. So good. I sent that to a few people. This match was just tremendous. I was so happy to see Utami and Kamatani back, but also repping the company, Goddess of Stardom Champions. I'm not going to lie, though. I feel like Tora, combinations of Tora and Momo, combinations of Tora and Ruaka have been chasing those Goddess of Stardom championships for a hot minute. Like, I feel like every couple of months, we see Tora and Ruaka or Tora and Momo challenging for these belts and just coming up short. To which I say, clearly they are valuable people in these companies that you keep giving them the opportunities, give them the opportunity to lead at some point. Because man, these two, especially Momo, I've said it all year. She is supremely overlooked for how good she is, both performing her stuff and taking stuff from other people. She's just on that next level. I would like to see her rewarded a little bit more. But Tora has also just been such a menacing presence since returning from that knee injury. And man, oh man, we need to see some bad guys start taking over a little bit. I want to see them not acting more like House of Torture. I want to see these guys start acting like war dogs. And then just start breaking everything and everyone. I mean, the crowd loves it. The crowd's already behind them for that. You know, we saw at the beginning of this match, they love taking people outside and tossing them into chairs. Let's war dog it up. Let's start making those comparisons. I would love to see that in the new year.
Me too. I would very much love to see that in the new year. But we're going to move on to, I'll say this, my match of the night, personally. This was my match of the night. I'm such a big fan of Julia. I think it's biased. I'll admit that because I'm such a big Julia fan. But this was my match of the night. Julia versus Mega Bane. This match was just insanely impressive. Bane, like, new gear on, like, new designs to her gear looked good. Julia with new gear and new neon. We had, like, the silver with neon green. And she had a neon green in her hair. Looked great. Bane overpowering Julia early on in the match. Julia gets Bane by her hair and tries to throw her. And, like, Bane's just like, no. And so Bane gets Julia by her hair. And she starts spinning her around, like, Cesaro style by the hair. And, like, Julia's, like, feet are bouncing off of the mat. And then she gets let go.
Screams Julia was making. You could tell there was, she was literally being thrown around by her hair. She was screaming bloody murder. That stuff hurts.
Yeah, she had a grip on those braids. And then so Julia comes back after getting tossed, keeps fighting, but gets, like, fall away slammed. Bane runs Julia into the corner with the shoulder tackles. Then other corner with more shoulder tackles, gives her a big chop. Overhead belly to belly out of the corner for two, and then Bane gets two. Julia slips off the shoulder, gets a DDT. She gets Bane down into an armbar, head scissors, but Bane stands up, slams Julia down, breaking it, and she gets a two count out of it. But Julia pulls the triangle armbar out of that. But Bane lifts her up, puts her on the top rope. Julia tries the DDT off the second, but gets stopped and tossed across the ring. Bane gets a Boston Crab, but Julia gets the ropes. The ref has to force Bane to break the hold. The ref's, like, pushing on Bane to get her to break the Boston Crab. Top rope drop kick by Julia, but Bane doesn't go down. She Bane goes for a German, but Julia kind of reverses it into like a jawbreaker, like a stunner or a jawbreaker. Look really good. She gets a roll up for two. Just beautiful. Like Julia gets on top, raining down strikes. When they get up, baseball throw punch by Julia, but Bane hits a pop up power bomb and they both go down. Julia and Bane are seated at center, slapping each other in the face. Julia slips the Bane goes for a suplex, but she fights her and she ends up putting Julia apron. But then she gets Julia and Germans her over the rope back into the ring. Oh, fuck. So good. Julia turns the F5 into the DDT. She hits a backdrop driver to Bane, gets two. Northern Lights bomb, but Bane kicks a 2.9. Julia's ring down strike applies a double armbar into a ring to Saturn, but Bane, or to the modified ring to Saturn, but Bane gets the foot on the ropes. Bane reverses the Northern Lights bomb into a sick looking tombstone. But Julia kicks out of that last second. F5 by Bane. And I thought it was over right here. But Julia kicks out of that last millisecond. The crowd is chanting, Julia, Julia, Julia. And I'm just like, holy shit, this is great. Bane gets a huge leaping lariat. They both go down. Bane goes up to the top. I was like, what are you doing? She goes for the moonsault. Julia rolls out of the way. And as Bane gets up onto her knees, Julia comes with this sick knee to the face. Just wham! Just rocks her. Picks her up. Northern Lights bomb. I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be it. 2.9. Julia then gets her own guillotine choke. She ties up the like Indian deathlock style. Then gets Julia in a guillotine choke. Or she gets Bane in the guillotine. And Bane, they arm up, one. Arm up, two. Arm up, three. Julia chokes out Megan Bane. And then after the match, they're both up. Julia says in English, says, before this match, I said, I will kill you. And then Bane said, so will I. And she goes, we're both alive. She says something in Japanese. Then she goes, Megan, fight me again someday. And she puts her hand out. And then Megan goes and puts her hand right next to it. And then they both go. They both pull their hands back before they shake. So Julia gets on the mic, talks some more, and then gets interrupted, as she usually does, it seems like. And it's Trisha Dora on the screen from New Japan Academy, and also has worked in Ring of Honor too. I'm fairly sure, but yeah, Trisha Dora appears there, and she challenges Julia for the title. I didn't get what Julia said afterwards, but I assume she accepted the title match because why wouldn't she? I'm gonna guess that's probably a Battle in the Valley show in January. There's a Battle in the Valley show in late January, so I'm gonna guess that's where it's gonna be.
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to disagree that it was match of the night, but I have the most notes on this match than I do for the next two. But I also did just enjoy the next two as opposed to really sitting and taking a whole lot of notes. This match just kept me like every time something happened, I was like, holy shit. Holy shit. This was a holy shit match for me. Yeah, that hair toss that she tried, and then Bane with the swing around, just nasty, nasty, nasty tactics. But damn, before I get into that, though, I really did appreciate both these women coming in with new gear. With Julia, it's kind of almost, I don't want to say expected, but like every month or so, she does change up her gear, which I love. And yeah, it's going to be pricey, yeah. But you know, she's making that NJPW strong money. She can afford it. but Bane's gear. Whoops. I mean, I sent pictures of that to Astrid, and she was like, damn. Damn. To quote Cardi B, damn. I think that's what she says. I don't know what she's saying. Yeah, there was that one point, I didn't write down what submission, but Julia putting the submission on Bane, and Bane just simply standing up to try to slam her, but then Julia transitioned into, it looks like some kind of abdominal thing. So I think that was the thing that you were mentioning earlier in the match. Well,
she had like an arm bar, but then she picked her up, or a guillotine hold, and then she picked her slam down. Then she had the triangle arm. She put a triangle arm bar on, and that's and then yeah. But then the guillotine was at the end.
Yeah. This was more at the beginning because this is like the second note that I have. Just the power that Bane has been flexing on these women has been incredible. But to see how well she works with someone like Julia, and even I've mentioned to you a few times, Scandinavian Hurricane, who's an MMA fighter herself, who knows those transitions, who has those strikes, who has those submissions. Bane has done incredible work. Almost like Great O'Conn, adapting to everybody she's in the ring with and turning it into this just incredible match. We've mentioned that Bane was sent over to Stardom to kind of as like a precursor to AEW. Is that correct?
From reports, I'm not guaranteeing any of this is the truth. But from reports that I've read from Sean Ross Sapp and another few reputable sources have said that she is under contract from AEW, but Tony sent her to Stardom to get to just have her evolve and get better and just turn her into a killer before bringing her back to AEW.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You not only succeeded, you went above and beyond, because, and I'm sorry to say it, because I'm a fan of both of these women, after what we saw on the pre-show for AEW with Willow and Statlander, I'd say Bane has worked herself to a level almost above those two. She's performing so good. Well, I would love to see Megan Bane debut in AEW and challenge Toni Storm, because I feel like the two of them would have a banger of a match. And it's mostly because Storm knows the Stardom work. I mean, we saw that yesterday with her work with Riho. She did incredible in putting on a Stardom style match with a lot of, we'll say, North American flavors in there. There was a dash of it, but I feel like Bane, what she has learned over in Stardom has made her extremely, extremely more so. I'm going to go ahead and say more so than some of those other girls. You know, the ones I'm referring to. I'm not a big fan of some of those mean girls. They can't wrestle like Bane. No. They would get obliterated if they were put in a legitimate, like, wrestling match. So the AEW, you guys have gotten some pretty lucrative people. Just advertise about it so we can fracking see them when you guys are coming to our area, please. Oofuses. There was that one point where Julia did that Cesaro suplex off the bottom rope, yeeting Julia back into the ring from the apron. Just so good. It's amazing what you could do when those ropes are tight. The snap suplex that Julia did on Bane was so sudden and so quick and so good. Again, just Bane just went over like butter for her. It was so good. It made Julia look so, so strong. And I feel that's what this match overall did for Julia, was not just make her look smart in being able to out-wrestle Bane, it made her look strong in that she could contend with Bane on the same level as Bane's strength, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Now, that driver that Julia hit on Bane, getting her into that double armbar submission, was just, again, just speaks to how good of a transitional wrestler that Julia is. Because she can do those power moves, but then she can also contend with people like Sori and have those submission-style, amazing transition technical matches. Yes, the pile driver. I was like, this wording doesn't make sense. The pile driver that Bane did on Julia was really sudden. I really, really liked it, but she set it up and delivered it so effortlessly and so good. That it looked, you know, there's sometimes where people pop off a pile driver and I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, they didn't get their chin tucked in time and they look like they landed right on their head. It was so quick, but Julia knew exactly what to do. And this is what happens when you have someone who's so experienced, like Julia, working with someone so knowledgeable and just good as Bane. It just was the perfect combination match here. That huge F5 that Bane performed on Julia, I also thought it was done there because she yeeted her really good. She got distance. She tossed her halfway across the ring with that thing and then had to run across and follow up with that pin. So, I have to actually probably agree. This was probably match of the night for me. It's such an incredible match. And for the NJPW Strong Women's Championship, I mean, wow. That's high expectations in the next year to come, my friends.
Yeah, like I said, match of the night, absolutely incredible. I want to see these two go at it again. I really do. And again, there's the question. Julia is ready to go to North America. Her contract isn't up until March, so she'll be around till March. But like, who is she going to drop the title to? If Tony wants to leave Megan Bain over in Stardom for another little while, give it to her. And even then, that means she can come back and defend it on EWTB. And it's a traveling title for that company. It's the American title. So,
Tony is a shoe-in for me because, you know, she does have a special place.
I mean by Tony Khan, if Tony Khan keeps her in New Japan or keeps her over in Japan, give her that strong title. And then he can bring her back to have strong match to defend the title on AEW shows if he wants to. And because it's the American title. So you can do whatever you want with that belt. If Bane puts it on Bane, she can travel back and forth.
I would like to see more of the Megan Bane route taken by AEW people. I'm not going to lie. Send over Ruby. Send over Saraya. Let them be humbled a little bit by the Japanese women and then send them back.
Not even that. Like, send over, like, you have Billy Starks. You're signed Billy Starks. She's working in ROH. Yeah. Send a Billy Starks over, who sadly has been announced not to be coming to LPW in January because for some odd reason. So we're not getting Billy Starks anymore, which makes me sad. But she would be perfect to send over to Japan. Give her 6 months in Japan if she wants, because she's just turned 18. She graduated high school. Let her go and learn. Let her go work with these women. And when she comes back in 6 months, anybody, like send them over. You can send them over, get them to tour for 6 months, and bam, they come back with a whole new skill set in them. I think Megan Bane is the perfect example of using your partners in the best possible way to help get your people more experience.
100%. Because I would also love to see Statlander come over here.
Well, again, Statlander could really use that. Like, not that she's not bad. Not that she's bad. I just think she could use an evolution in her character, and coming to Japan and getting to work that strong style would very much help that. But
absolutely. And the exposure.
Yeah. We are going to move on to the Wonder of Stardom title match. It's Mirai defending in Sayori Anu. Anu sends Mirai out immediately, hits a baseball slide. She goes to the top, but Mirai moves out of the way of the dive. Mirai goes back in. Mirai tosses Anu off the top onto the apron, and she gets a tarantula on the ropes, and she gets a rolling flatliner for two. Anu gets a top rope dropkick, gets a figure four head scissors, but Mirai gets to the ropes. They're trading, kneeling strikes on their knees at one point. They work their way back up. Anu on lows, but Mirai hits a lariat. Then Anu hits a German. Then Mirai hits a lariat from behind. The back and forth from these women was absolutely incredible. Backdrop driver, then a hammerlock belly to belly into the bridge for the pin by Mirai for two. Anu cuts her off up top, hits a run off the top, hits a bridging fisherman. And then for two, and gets the straight jacket chokehold, but Mirai gets to the ropes. Anu goes to the top. Mirai gets her knees up on a splash. Mirai hits a SS Columbia with Michelle, which is actually the second time. There's another spot she hit it in, but I just, you know, trying to not run every single spot in the match. She hits the SS Columbia with Michelle, gets a butterfly lock into a pin for two, then into the modified Rings of Saturn, but Anu fights to the ropes. Another SS Columbia with Michelle. Mirai hits a lariat, then off the shoulder, then in the off-the-shoulder slam for two. Anu rolls her up off the lariat reversal for two. But Mirai comes back with a Death Valley driver for two, then hits another running lariat for two. Like, they're going to move, pin, move, pin, move, pin, reversal, pin, move, pin. And it was just like, yeah, let's go. Ace is high by Mirai, but again, she could only get two. Anu turns the Death Valley driver into the Poison Rana and Suguri. And Anu hits a triple Germans, but can only get two. Mirai hits a short arm lariat for two, but then Anu hits a dragon suplex and hits a headhunter for two. So Anu picks her up. I thought she was going for a tiger driver. She didn't. She crossed the arms behind Mirai, picks her up, Japanese ocean suplex into the bridge, and Sayori Anu is your new Wonder of Stardom champion. Koji!
Koji in the house. Oh, big sigh. It's a burden today. Oh, we had to have Koji pop in for one of the last shows of the year to say hi to everyone. Say hi. Machine gun chops. Holy heckin' crap, this match. Anu making short work of Mirai in the first little bit there, taking her to the outside, leaving her out there for a little bit. I was concerned, clearly rightfully so. I did not like, I am happy it got out of the way, but they mercifully on this show didn't do a whole lot of these 19 counts that, you know, I hate. This was the only match that I recall having it, or at least the only match that I was like, eh. That sucked. But it was well done, and it was not done in a way that's been annoying like it has been lately. It kind of made sense into the story of what they were doing, and they didn't do it again, which made me happy. These women that, and just to sum it up, they went in on each other. They were just hitting each other for everything that they had. It was literally anything you could do, I can do better kind of situation, where Mirai would give her the hit and Anu would serve it back just as heavy, and Mirai would serve it back just as heavy, and Anu would serve it back just as heavy. As you mentioned, like the suplexing, just the reversals, the go back and forth. It was like, I suplex you, you suplex me, you suplex everybody. It was crazy how in on each other these two were going. But man, the evolution, and we've mentioned it, well, I've mentioned it every time we've talked about Anu, her evolution this year, going from someone who is so bland and just emotionless and expressionless in the ring to this over-animated, amazing, just full package wrestler has been a real treat for me to watch. Because this time last year, I was supremely underwhelmed with Anu and everything that she was doing. I don't think she was here this time last year, actually. But when I saw her at the beginning of the year, I was very underwhelmed by her. I didn't understand why there was so much excitement behind her. Now I understand. This is a tremendous, complete package wrestler, and I'm very much looking forward to see what the next year has. There was one point, Mirai was just transitioning like a mofo, just sweeping into every submission that she had. She ended up, I wrote down that butterfly lock. Again, Mirai, the quiet riot, this woman. She's that silent person who just shows up smiling, wrecks shit, and leaves smiling. Like, she's so good at what she does. A Cinderella tournament winner this year. This year? Last year? Both years. You're muted.
Yeah, both years. I apologize. Yeah, and she used her wish this year for her Wonder title shot.
Yeah. It was so good. So well deserved. This woman has worked so hard. Again, the Quiet Riot is what I call her. She just silently shows up and does her work and leaves. Sad to see her lose the Wonder title. Wasn't ready to see her have it, though, for me. I really was still hoping that Mina would be carrying this title. So the Wonder Stardom belt has been kind of like a bit of a letdown for me this year. But I'm excited to see where Anu takes it, to see who her next, like her first challenger is, and see how she decides to kind of take that pathway with it. I'm interested.
Yes, very. Me too, very much. I just had her head mute. I'm very much looking forward. I do would like to see Mina at some point challenge and take the title from, say, Ariana.
It would make more sense now, too. Cosmic Angels Club Venus have not been seen eye to eye. So particularly Anu has been like a blind little minion for Natsupoi and just not liking Mina just simply because Natsupoi doesn't. So, and Natsupoi was in Anu's corner for that match.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe I would like to kind of see that, see what happens.
Yeah,
we need Walker back, though.
We do need Walker back. So we move on to main event of the evening. It's for the vacant World of Stardom title, which Tam Nakano did vacate, which she did show her at a point during this match watching from the crowd. She was watching this because she's going to get a scout. Who am I going to be facing when I come back? Who am I going to be challenging? Great new gear for both women. Like, both look great. But Micah with the big old bruise on her left leg. She had a big old bruise on there.
Oh, yeah. That thing was the size of like a grapefruit. Mm-hmm. And if someone who has had a bruise like that at that same location because of softball, walking is a burden. That's right on your quad. And like, you know, man, you know how much legs hurt now.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's not fun. That match must have been a bit of a burden for her.
Yeah. So they start out hot, striking the hell at each other, fighting to the floor. Micah tosses Susan in the chair. She comes back. Susan tosses Micah in the chair. They both go back and forth, toss each other in the chairs. Susan sets up a table on the floor. She tries to German Micah off the apron onto it, but can't. They fight into the ring. Susan eventually gets the nasty German through the ropes. Excuse me. She does a long-distance run drive-by kick. Micah gets a rear naked choke. Susan gets the ropes. Susan hits a stunner on the apron to Micah with the fighting on the apron. And Micah catches her as she comes in for a kick. And lifts her up. Goes for the powerbomb to the table on the floor. But Susan stops it and Rana's her off. And she hits the table and bounces off. It cracks the table. It doesn't completely break. She bounces off and keeps going forward. And, oh, they look brutal. Like, oh. Yeah. In the back of the rings, Susan gets a spin kick to the head, goes up. Micah cuts her off. Micah gets a superplex off the top. They're both laid out. After a series of reversals, Micah gets this giant lariat. Susan reverses another lariat into a Spanish fly for one. Micah catches Susan with a powerbomb for one. Susu hits a German to Micah, but she pops right back up and hits a backdrop driver. They're striking each other at center, and they both smack each other at the same time. They drop each other. They're exchanging strikes at set. They back up and they're exchanging strikes at center again. Micah drops Suzu and hits her with the triple suplex. Judo sweep for two by Micah. Micah puts Suzu up top, but Suzu fights out and hits an avalanche German suplex off the top into a bridge for two. Then transitions up, hits a rolling chaos theory for another two. Micah then tries to powerbomb Suzu, but she slips off, kicks, and just up kicks Micah. Or like she was for a running powerbomb, Suzu pushes herself off, and Micah falls to the mat, and then Suzu just up kicks her in the face. She comes running at Micah. Micah catches her, hits her with a Michinoku driver. Suzu attempts to reverse another attempt. She gets her up on the shoulder and returns to the attempt and hits her with the poison Rana for two. Micah hits the discus lariat for two. Suzu hits the tequila shot, But then Micah kicks out at the last millisecond. Micah hits his sick-ass headbutt, hits the power bomb off the shoulder side luck slam, but can only get two. Michinoku driver two, three times. And Micah is your new World of Stardom champion. I wanted Suzu to win, but I am not disappointed because this match killed, and I know Micah will be a great champion.
Yeah, buddy. I'm not crying. You're crying. I was so excited for this match. And it was one of those matches where, like, I was confused. I was cheering for both of these women. These are both my favorites. I mean, Suzu Suzuki was my pick of person to watch for 2023 last year. And she went ahead and won the 5-star Grand Prix to get this opportunity at the red belt to main event the main show, the biggest show of this company. When at the beginning of the year, you went from being like in a faction and with prominence to suddenly being on your own, you know, having to partner with people who you were just not very nice to the year prior, in Micah, people like Maysera, you know, and seeing Crazy Star team together really did evolve Suzu in such a perfect way that set her up perfectly for this match. She gained so much fandom with her year working with May, working with Bane, working with Micah. The four of those women, you and I were saying, they could form their own faction and be unstoppable just because of the variety of styles that they have on there. You got May, who's at high speed. You got Suzu and Micah, who could be that powerhouse tag team, who have that strength and power, but also the technicality and just the brutality that Suzu has. But then you got Bane. That's a world champion contender right there. Well, I guess now Micah is. This match, though, was just from start to finish confusing for me because, again, I didn't know who to cheer for. I was cheering for both. It was heavy hitting. It had those kind of hallmark hardcore deathmatch undertones in what Suzu likes to do with the weaponry and the table and the chairs, but also the just straight power that both of these women were known for. They kept it in the ring so much, which what I'm not used to with Suzu. She did take it outside, but usually Suzu takes more of the match outside. Micah made sure to keep it in the ring, and I absolutely lived for it. I would love to see these two go again. For a title or without a title, I don't care. A grudge match, I don't care. I just want to see these two fight again. That confetti fall for Micah was just near and dear to my heart. Made me feel so good. But then seeing the after bits where Julia had to come in and roll out Suzu, take her to the back, and poor Suzu, she was so sad. She was so emotional, crying. I don't think I've seen Suzu cry.
No, I've got that stuff here in a second. So
go for it.
Thank you to Twitter again for the Twitter translate, because Stardom's Twitter put up a couple quotes from Micah's speech here, and I hit the translate button, and bam, there they are in English. So Micah, which is just a Suzu Suzuki. I finally won the red belt on my fourth attempt. Suzu Suzuki, I thought I never wanted to see your face again. This can't end, can it? Is this one win and one loss? So let's fight again, you idiot. She called her an idiot. And then Julia.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that this is a term of endearment for women, just putting out there, because my best friend, I call her bitch all the time. It's a loving thing.
Okay. But then Julia helps Suzu Suzuki to the back, and they even turn and look at Micah in the ring when they're walking up the ramp together, and they're both staring down Micah. And then Julia turns with Suzu and leaves. So, and she never came back. So I was like, okay, could this be a fractioning of DDM? And like, remember, Julia is leaving, or Julia might be leaving in a couple months. So this could be the how they turn, how they have Micah take over DDM. It is possibility, and I think she's ready to do it with this win.
Take over DDM or just dissolve DDM and start a new faction? Because wasn't Julia the one who originally started Donna Del Mondo?
Her and Suri, yeah.
Yeah, so like if Julia is leaving, I mean, it's much like the opinion of like Will Ospreay in the United Empire. What do? Do you redo a new owner? Does he maintain ownership over there? I would feel with Donna Del Mondo, if Julia is potentially leaving for another company, that she's not going to be associating with Stardom anymore, I think it would be a good idea to let the DDM banner kind of be raised into the rafters, because it is her faction. It would be weird to have an Italian named faction being headed by not an Italian person. Does that make sense? Like, and I feel that Micah would be able to form her own thing based on her own kind of ideology there. And personally, I think it would be a good shakeup, much like at the addition of Club Venus was kind of in the last year. It could be a new faction to kind of have fun with.
And from some teasing last year, I'd like to see DDM break up and mainly Tekla maybe get brought over to the Venus side, because they had a little thing going with Tekla last year around Grand Queendom. You never know. She might, if DDM goes away, she might be more willing to, you know, hang out with some Club Venus people.
But I wouldn't mind seeing Tekla do the Club Venus entrance dance.
So Micah did have another quote after, from her speech after Suzy left. Since I'm wearing the red belt, I will lead Stardom into 2024. Next year will be Tam Nakano, Tommy Aishishita, Saya Kamatani, and Julia. No, there are still a lot of interesting people in Stardom. I will destroy every single one of them. From this New Year's Eve, the era of the Empress begins, and I will make it my era.
The Empress. I love it. I love it. It is about dang time. I have been just girl crushing on Micah since I started watching Stardom. And her work has just been utterly flawless. I mean, her work with Himikuk, when we first started watching in the Goddess of Stardom tag division, was just... She hasn't been able to find that magic again with another partner since the departure of Himika. And speaking of Himika, Himika was backstage to congratulate Micah for her win, which just warmed my heart. And I believe she was in the crowd also. I believe there were pictures of her sitting in the crowd watching.
I'm not sure on that one, but cool. Yeah, it's so nice.
It's so heartwarming to see, you know, friends supporting friends and workers supporting workers. It's a very, very nice thing to see, because it's not always something that we do see. We have seen it with Bailey, though, going over to watch Mercedes debut and all that. So there's these really amazing just connections that everybody makes through professional wrestling and with their friends that just warms my heart and restores faith in humanity. What are you thinking, sir? There's a brain thing coming out.
The girl that left with Mercedes at the same time, Trinity, she was there too
for the and Tamina was too, wasn't she?
Yeah, Tamina was there. Like, she had a few friends there from that company, but I guess Trinity had already left. But yeah, you know, it's nice.
Recognize the real, right?
Yeah, you gotta have your friends there. But we've come to another end of another episode of Stardom Review. Before we go, I want to thank each and every one of you. We appreciate all the great support you've given us. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below. Don't forget to hit the share button to share it all out to your friends. And if you're listening on SNME Radio, please subscribe to the channel, like the thing, comment. You can send your comments into SNME Radio, Sunday's Main Event. radio.com. Go check them out there, and then you can send them stuff telling them how much you love us. Everything, if you love us, please check that out. Don't forget to hit the notification bell on YouTube so you can learn every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong.
Hello. And you can find me on X, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Hive at That Canada Guy, TikTok, Instagram, and Threads at That Canada Dude, Facebook. You can find me right over here at Andre and Melball Wrestling Talk. YouTube, you can find me right here at YouTube, or if you're watching us on YouTube, youtube.com/@Andre and Melball Wrestling Talk. Mel, where you can also find, again, you can find us on Sunday night's main event.com. Check them out to get all your Sunday night's main event information over there. You can also check their Patreon at snmeradio.com. There will be a big revamp for their Patreon in the new year, so please check that out. Me and Mel are hoping to be, at least I know I am, but I know they want us to be a little more part of some other stuff. Jump on a Sunday show every now and again, preview some Japanese wrestling, talk with them. Just a lot of great stuff there. Please make sure you go over and check out myself over at OLE, at Our Local Establishment, on Twitch at Our Local Establishment, twitch.tv/Our Local Establishment, and youtube.com/@Our Local Establishment. You can find all the reviews for all the episodes of What If that me and Ed did over 9 days, 9 reviews. I missed one of them because just didn't work out, I missed two of them, but the first one and the one in the middle. But yeah, 9 days, we did not, there was 9 reviews, a review for every episode of the show. Please go check that out over there. And we'll be having lots more Marvel Talk coming out this year, along with mine and Mel's sort of weekly wrestling wrap-up when we have time and when we have stuff to talk about. We're going to be doing a Japanese weekly wrap-up over there. And then please go over to Backbreaker Video, our boy Mike the Ref, simulcasting all of our great stuff at youtube.com/@Backbreaker Video. Love that guy. Love him to death. Thank you so much, sir, for all the great support and giving me some of the chances you've given me in this world. You can also go to twitch.tv/Mike the Ref to see all of his live gaming content and his AEW watch along. He does every Wednesday, and he actually did one for the pay-per-view this past weekend, too. And then if you want to see replays of all those gaming content, go to youtube.com/@Backbreaker_Gaming, where you can find him, Mr. Pete, replays Mr. PJC, Mr. Rick Jules, and their freaking guest, Miss Kayla J.
Kayla J. I love KJ.
Yeah. We all love KJ. Kayla J. Melba, where can they find you?
If you're wanting to follow a Melball, you can follow her on the X thing at Collins Melball. You can find her on everything else, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melball Collins. You can also find me on Our Local Establishment's programming in the new year. I'm going to be doing a spooky show, spooky-ooky-ish, coming out soon with some special guests. So you want to stay tuned to see when that's coming out. You can also find me on Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel, where we do our show, Ladies Wrestling Showcase. We're having a New Year's show coming up very soon, where we're going to talk all about some of the drama that's been happening in the stuff, because everyone likes to talk about drama. So come on down and listen to us talk about the tea there with the beautiful natural. Sir? Where else? If you're wanting to watch Stardom Wrestling, you can go to the description docs down below for the link. It is stardom-world.com. It is 999 yen, blah, 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 or approximately $10 Canadian. Sir, shout out the now almost free agent, Sean Spears. Hopefully we can see him somewhere soon. Spencer, sir, would love to work out with him again. Anyway, back to stardom-world.com. You want to see what we were talking about today, you can go on there and check it out. You can also check it out on their YouTube channel, but you can also check out the Queendom show from last year, where Suri took on Julia for that red title belt that Micah just won. So you want to go check that out, because that was a hell of a match. Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do we have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
I just want to say thank you all so much for the great support, whether you're supporting us on Andre Melball Wrestling Talk, whether you're supporting us on Backbreaker Video, whether you're supporting us on Sunday night's main event. We appreciate all the great support. I also want to give a big shout-out to the Sunday night's main event family for bringing us into the family this year. We really do appreciate it. I've been a fan of this group since way back in 2009 when I found them when they were the Law, and I've been with them all through their evolutions into Sunday night's main event. Thank you, Boris. Thank you, everybody else. Randy Charpentier, everybody else at Sunday night's main event. Thank you all so much for bringing us and making us part of your team. And I also want to say a big thank you to OLE for having us has been a part of their team this year. I've been so blessed to find some great friends as part of that network. Thank you guys so much. It means the world to me. And another big thank you to our boy Mike the Ref for always being so supportive of us and giving me my start in podcasting, helping me get into this and helping us build what we've built. So thank you all so much. We appreciate all of you, and we're looking forward to a wonderful new year of lots of different opportunities this coming year. My life is about to change in multiple different ways, on my personal front in multiple ways, but I'm hoping for a wonderful change or wonderful evolution here. The biggest thank you I want to thank is for this awesome year is my partner Melball. You don't understand what part you partnering with me in 2021, I think, or 2022, we started partnering, and what this year has meant to me. I was in a bad place when this started, so I was in a tough place, and I really appreciate you giving me this up the ability to just talk all this stuff with you, and thank you. More than anything, thank you so much, because I love you to death, and it means so much to me.
Now you're going to get us both wispy-eyed on our show here, sir. We were both going through the rucker when we started this. This was our therapy that we get to share with all of you guys, and it's been such an incredible just year where we have gotten to know all these people online, but we have been able to go to other local shows, get to know some more local people. I mean, look at Jason, our good friend Jason Rutledge. We love that guy. He was my dirty dom for my Rhea at Halloween. We've been getting to know a lot of people here, a lot of wrestlers, a lot of promoters, a lot of experiences in the next year. We have so many new experiences and opportunities coming our way. We can't wait to share them with you. So that being said, from Andre, from Koji, who was happily asleep until a second ago, and myself here at Andre and Melville, say hi. I'm Andre and Melville's Wrestling Duck. I am your Melba. Over there is Andre. And here's a sleepy Koji. We will see you next time.